The platform. Step up and speak out.
It is a very good evening at ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Larry Quiteray. It is The Platform. Thank you for joining us. I'm with you until 9 p.m. And the last 30 minutes of it, between 8:30 and 9 p.m., I will be having a health matters. Yeah, but in the first section, we're going to be playing a couple of clips from the security chief's appearance before the Commission of Inquiry onto the August 1st violence. But before I tell you a little bit more about that, just remember the frequencies. You can listen to us across the country, Chief 99.8, Kariba 105.3, Mutora Shanga 97.6, Nyanga 98.2, Kadoma 105.2, Bulawa in my hometown 106.7, and we're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. If you want to listen to us over the internet, it's www.zfmstereo.co.zw, and of course you can download the TuneIn app, which is available for free, and you can listen to us live and in charge. And also the conversation is live we're playing the clips live, but so I will be able to take your feedback as it comes at ZFM Stereo on Twitter. On Facebook is facebook.com/ZFM Stereo, and on Instagram at ZFM Stereo ZW. And of course, this program will be available as a podcast within 24 hours of live broadcast on iTunes. And finally, WhatsApp number is open, 0731-168-045. Now, top security chiefs, ZDF Commander General Philip Valerio Savanda, Commander Presidential Guard Brigadier Anselin Sanyatwe, and we also got ZRP Commissioner General Godwin Matanga have testified before the Commission of Inquiry onto the August 1 post-election violence. Now, tonight on The Platform, we're bringing a special edition, as I said. We'll get to hear them give their evidence before the public inquiry that is led by a former South African President Kgalema Motlanthe into the August 1 shootings, which left 7 people dead. Testifying before the Commission, Commander of the Zimbabwe Defence Forces, General Philip Valerio Savanda, said their troops had clear instructions not to open fire against the rioters. Let's hear him speak.
General Philip Valerio Savanda, do you swear that the evidence which you shall lead before this commission of inquiry shall be the truth only? If you do so swear, raise your right hand and say, so help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you. You may take a seat.
General Savanda, you are the commander of the Zimbabwe Defence Force.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. You are acquainted with the circumstances that led to the appointment of this commission that you are appearing before.
I am.
I would like to request you at this stage to begin your testimony, if you may, by giving us a background of the understanding of the situation, including the security situation in Zimbabwe and in particular in Harare, during the election campaign period, immediately prior to the elections, and then moving on to the 1st of August 2018.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. We are happy that you have allowed us to come in as a defense to give our views on what happened prior to the 1st of August. Or the 1st of August and then thereafter. Allow me, Chair, to read a summary of a statement that I've prepared for this commission, and which statement I have distributed. I hope it will be availed to you. Chairman, the campaign period was generally peaceful throughout, except for the Bulawayo grenade incident of 23 June 2018. During this period, however, it was unfortunate that the MDC Alliance candidates made inflammatory statements during their campaign, which incited members of the Alliance and the public at large to reject and to revolt if the MDC Alliance was not declared the ultimate winners of the election. I have forwarded some 6 video clips of the very many video clips that were produced during the campaign period of the MDC Alliance candidates preaching violence during their rallies. These clips bear testimony to the incitement that was made by Mr. Chamisa and his top leadership. That included Tendai Biti, Morgan Komichi, and Edmo Chidziwa, instigating civil disobedience in the event that ZANU-PF won the election. On 23rd July, while he's addressing a campaign rally at Mkoba Stadium in Gweru, Tendai Biti of the MDC Alliance said, and I quote, "Post-elections violence is inevitable if we lose the 30 July 2018 polls. We expect nothing less than victory," unquote. On the other hand, ZANU-PF officials preached peace and tolerance throughout their campaign rallies, and again, I have made available some 6 video clips to this effect. On 31st July 2018, the parliamentary election results started trickling in, and this showed that some of the MDC Alliance National Assembly and local government candidates had lost. It is assessed that it was during this early part of the release of the results that the Alliance realized that Chamisa might not win the presidential contest. The MDC Alliance then began to mobilize for countrywide riots through social media platforms and party structures. It became clear from this point on that the MDC Alliance was determined to cause violence and make the country ungovernable and would stop at nothing before achieving their objective. On the 1st of August and towards midday, and due to the escalation in the level of violence all over the CBD, ZRP became overstretched, resulting in the Commissioner General of Police, through the Minister of Home Affairs, invoking Section 37(1) of the Public Order and Security Act, paragraphs 1 and 2B, which empower the police to seek assistance from the military to suppress civil commotion and disturbance. I was then directed by the Minister of Defense, after the due processes had been followed, to deploy the NRAF, that is the National Reaction Force, in support of the Zimbabwe Republic Police. I have also submitted, Chair, 4 documents which followed the process from the Police Commissioner General to the Minister of Home Affairs, where the Commissioner General requested that if the Minister of Home Affairs could approach defense, because the situation in the Central Business District was getting out of hand. There is then a letter from the Minister of Home Affairs to the Minister of Defense, also stating the same. And then from the Minister of Defense, I have a letter which was written to His Excellency the President. And then I have a letter which was written by the Minister of Defense to me after some time. I guess there were consultations there that took place, directing me now to deploy the NRF. After the situation was finally brought under control at around 1700 hours on the same day, I was informed that there were some fatalities. This number rose to 6 the following day, with 16 others being injured. It is not clear as to who was responsible for the deaths of the 6 that I mentioned, and also the injuries to the 16 others. Suffice to say that there were and there are licensed and unlicensed weapons in town, and the possibilities of business people firing to protect their properties from looters or destruction by hooligans cannot be ruled out. Further, the possibility of the Vanguard, the militant group within the MDC Youth Alliance, the MDC Alliance Youth League, having weapons and having used these during the disturbances on that day, cannot be ruled out. The intervention by the security forces was meant to prevent loss of life and destruction of property. And in this vein, no orders, and I want to repeat, no orders were given to open fire on the rioters. And this is at all levels of command. Had the intervention not occurred and rioting had gone into the night, I want to believe that many more lives and a lot more property could have been lost and damaged or destroyed respectively. Minimum force commensurate with the situation was applied as the troops first gave verbal warning to the rioters to disperse. After failing to comply, the troops used whips and baton sticks and only in extreme circumstances fired warning shots. There was never an intention to shoot at the rioters. The loss of lives and the injuries suffered by our countrymen and women on that day is most regretted, and we sympathize with all affected. I thank you, Chair.
Now, General Sulanda, you are, of course, aware of allegations that have been leveled against members of your army, mainly on social media and in some newspapers, alluding to the fact that the six people who sadly lost their lives on the day in question were shot by members of the Defence Forces. What would be your comment to that?
Thank you. My comment is that, firstly, as soldiers, we operate on orders, and the orders were very clear here.
Sorry, could you microphone me, please?
Okay, I'll push forward a bit. Sorry, I'll say that again. I said, as soldiers, we operate on orders, and the orders given on that day were very clear. You do not open fire on the rioters. So if there is anyone who has evidence to the effect that any one of these six and the injured could have been shot by soldiers, if they could bring that forward. I am aware that there were reporters who were following the troops when they went into town, once they deployed in town. And if there's anyone with that evidence, if they can bring it forward. But certainly from where I sit, I don't believe that any of the soldiers could have fired. Yes, they fired in the air, but I don't believe any could have fired aimed shots at individuals. I don't believe so. Thank you.
Now, I will now hand you over to the commission. I'm sure they have a number of questions that they want to put to you for some clarifications. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any clarification questions, Commissioner? Yes, General.
General, thank you very much for your testimony. I just wish to know, apart from the AK-47 that the National Reaction Force had carried with them, did you have any other weapons apart from the AK-47 which were used to control the manage the violence?
No. No other weapons other than AK-47 except for the whips and batons. Thank you.
The commander of the National Reaction Force did inform the commission that an action review was carried out. Is it possible for you to share with us some of the findings of that review?
Thank you, through your chair. Yes, there were after-action reviews which were conducted at various levels of command. I had my own, which we did together with the police and a number of issues came up, one of them being that of appropriate equipment. Secondly, better coordination. Thirdly, associated with equipment, we need to be able to get better coordination quality pictures so that we can actually identify individuals and so on and so on. So there were a number of issues that came up, which we have documented and which we are going to be using going forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, sir. General Spanda, there is, I'm sure you are familiar with our terms of reference, and I'll read to you one of the terms that is critical, which is why we're asking. It requires us as a commission to consider whether the degree of force used was proportionate to the ensuing threat to public safety, law and order. Now, this term of reference would require us to actually determine whether or not it was the military or the police who fired at the persons that lost their lives, or who fired at those that were injured. Because we can only determine the degree of force if we conclude that that force was actually used by the military or the police. I don't know whether you appreciate that point.
Thank you. Yes, I do appreciate what you are trying to get at. Let me put it this way. When you do an estimate of a situation in my environment, you look at how best you can deal with that situation in the shortest possible time, and in this particular case, with minimum damage and loss of life. And we looked at that, and we believe that the force that was eventually deployed by the commander, National Reaction Force, was appropriate, and the weaponry was appropriate in the sense that you cannot deploy a soldier without his equipment. It might not have been appropriate in the sense that we're carrying an AK as opposed to maybe a weapon that can take rubber bullets. But otherwise, the force that was used and so on was appropriate in my view. And as you notice, it was only about 1.5 hours or so, and the city was almost back to normal, except that there were no people because of what had happened.
But that means that the force you are referring to in your evidence is the force other than shooting at anyone. If I get your evidence correctly, that the army did not shoot at any person, they didn't do that. Well, the force we are assessing would be the force less than that.
Indeed, thank you. I have no reason whatsoever to believe that one of the soldiers could have shot and killed those people. I have no reason whatsoever. The orders were very clear, and I can't see what would have happened. Yes, I know they were pummeled by the rioters using stones and various other missiles, but I don't think that was enough justification for them to use weapons on these rioters. So I don't believe soldiers opened fire on the rioters. Let me just say to the commission chair that from where I sit in my office in town, I heard gunfire well before the troops deployed. So I think it would be wrong for people to just take it for granted that yes, because the soldiers went into town, they are the ones who killed the people. Thank you.
Well, if I may follow up on that point, we heard the evidence earlier on, I think from one of your senior brigadier general, the line taken, which was very clear to us, and which I think you have confirmed, is that there is no basis for saying that the soldiers were responsible for shooting at people or for the death. I think that line is clear from what you have said, which would mean that from your point of view, there might have been other people that could have shot because you had gunshots yourself before the army had been deployed. So is it the line of the defense forces that, because you have no reason to believe that this could have come from the soldiers,
in other words, your position, because there are deaths, there were injuries coming from gunshots. Would it be correct to say your position is surely someone else did it who is not the defense forces?
Well, that's what I want to believe, because really, and I want to repeat this, I have no reason putting this blame on the military. I have no reason whatsoever. Thank you.
Which means this commission may have to help. Either it says it doesn't know at the end of the report, we report to the president that we were unable to establish who killed people, or you would say that because we need assistance, that we might need to go further and establish. Because if it is not the military, from the evidence that we're hearing before the army came today, from the evidence, everyone else said this is the army. All we thought we were going to get from you would have been the justification. Indeed, even the police officers who came before you, they went so far as to say, well, if the army shot, they did it in good faith. They didn't actually exclude the military. It is only now the military that is excluding itself. Are you appreciating that point? No one else has categorically excluded the military. It is only the military that is excluding itself categorically. I'm not sure whether you're appreciating that.
Thank you. Yes, I do. But if there is anyone who saw a soldier shoot a rioter and the rioter dropped it there or ran bleeding and so on, then that person should come forward. They should come forward. In the absence of that, I think it's just too much speculation. And generally, we have in this country the belief that when something bad happens, especially to human beings, it is the military. That is wrong.
Yeah, but you do accept, and I think that the evidence we got earlier on also accepted, that one of the instructions given to the soldiers, or at least the line of operation, is that you would not kneel if you are shooting in the air. And there is public evidence that there was a breach of that rule. Now, why are you so sure that there was no breach of other rules? Because this one, from your evidence, and from the evidence of the previous witness, this particular soldier breached a rule clearly and openly. But then we now hear that, well, that was the only rule breached. Other rules were not breached. Why would it be that? Why would you be so categoric about it?
Well, the kneeling soldier, I've already said, whatever happened to him, he was not supposed to take that position. They were supposed to be moving forward. And because when you kneel, you also slow down the process. And this is why they were told they should not kneel, they should continue, they should advance without kneeling. And so, yes, that happened. And there will always be these things that happen from time to time. But I don't believe there was any soldier who opened fire on these rioters. Because if that had happened, then we would have had more deaths than the numbers that we are talking about.
Yeah, my final question takes you to the legal position. You have indicated that you have documents. Unfortunately, I don't have them. I would have wanted to look at them. I will see them when we get them from our secretariat. Perhaps that would be too late if you would have gone. We really need to check that as well. You made reference to Section 37 of the Public Order and Security Act. Is it your evidence then that indeed the process came from the Commissioner of Police to the Minister of Home Affairs, from the Minister of Home Affairs to the Minister of Defense? And I'm not sure whether that is where it ended, then it came back to you. Or was it the other provision in the Constitution that says that only the President can deploy members of the defense forces? Can you just shed light on the documents that we are going to see after, whether they relate to the letters from the minister, or was the president involved in the decision to deploy the defense forces?
Thank you. Like I said, I have four letters one from the Commissioner General of Police to the Minister of Home Affairs, indicating that the situation was getting out of hand. The second letter is from the Minister of Home Affairs to the Minister of Defense, indicating that the situation was getting out of hand and there was need for troops or support from the military. There is another letter from the Vice President to the President requesting that authority. What I cannot say is whether that letter was responded to, because it would not get to me. That correspondence would not get to me. It would go from the President to the VP, and then the VP gives me the instructions to go ahead. Whether there, it was verbal communication, I don't know. But I can imagine that because of what was happening, it's probable that there were consultations verbally and the go-ahead given for by the President to the Minister of Defense, who was Vice President then, who then gave me the instructions to deploy. So that is what is there.
So what we end up with is the Minister of Defense to yourself. There is no communication among the papers we are going to see from the President.
Like I said, there is a letter from the Minister of Defense to the President, but I have not seen any response. But I took it that they could have discussed and said, yes, go ahead verbally and so on. Maybe that is a response that might come from HE himself. I don't know.
But in terms of the system, the constitutional position, is it your understanding that when the President deploys, as indicated in the Constitution, that deployment, is it done directly to the commander of the defense forces, or is it through the Minister of Defense?
It is through the Minister of Defense. On very rare occasions do you get the commander-in-chief saying to me directly, go do that. Yes, it can be done, because I have a direct beeline to him, and he can also talk to me whenever he wishes. So it can be done. But it's not done that often.
Any other?
Yes. General, thank you very much for attending to testify today. I wanted to just ask a few questions. Firstly, about the investigation you said that you did just after the event on the 1st of August. You said that you conducted an investigation which led to a statement, and your investigation showed no problems.
Well, I didn't say it showed no problems. I said we conducted a joint investigation with the police,
right.
Visited a number of places that where assaults had been alleged to have taken place, and we came up with nothing. We spoke to a number of observers who were still in the country, and I remember some of them went even through the Minister of Foreign Affairs to say we have got these allegations and so on and so on. The Minister of Foreign Affairs met with us, and we were also with His Excellency, and we investigated these issues and came up with nothing. See, there are issues that people want to raise at times issues between neighbors and so on and so on come to the fore when you've got such an occurrence, because then people can take it and say, okay, I was beaten by soldiers. Yes, in fact, it was an issue between two neighbors or whoever. We have got their own grudges. But certainly we did conduct investigations, and we did not come up with any evidence.
And how long did that investigation last for?
Well, it was a very quick one. It was, I think, 2, 3, or 4 days.
And then it was closed. You haven't kept it open, is that right?
Well, we haven't, because then we passed it on to the police. There was another incident later, which was also along the same lines. Again, we conducted investigations, and we sought assistance from the public to bring the culprits to book. Please give us pictures, vehicles, individuals, and so on, and nothing happened.
And when you conducted that investigation, did you go to the places where it was alleged people had been shot, and ask the Bureau for information?
We in town or?
In town, yeah.
Well, there was a team that went there, but that was very much on the side of the investigators, not me directly.
No, no, not you, but your team.
They went and conducted what needed to be conducted. Whether they were a complete team or not, I cannot say. But certainly there were investigations that were conducted.
I mean, we have heard a lot of evidence in the last month about what happened to certain people who were killed and injured. I don't know if you followed the proceedings, whether you've seen that evidence, and whether any of that evidence was brought to your attention at the time.
Well, we have seen proceedings, but really, I can't say more than what we have seen, heard, and so on. There is very little else that I can go on in that area. We have left most of it to the police.
And the evidence that we've heard, that could be provided to the police, it could be provided to you for further investigation?
Well, if it is there, we would be happy to have it. Although we cannot do it on our own, we need to do it with the police, and the police will take the lead.
I wanted to ask if you had any information from these investigations that the demonstrators were armed with any firearms themselves.
Well, I don't think there was any hard evidence, but there is a belief amongst our intelligence operatives, and indeed within the CHOC system, that members of the Vanguard have got some weapons. That belief is there, and I'm sure we'll get to know about it. It's not going to be long before somebody gets arrested, and then we can prove this point.
Feel the summer of Z. Moving the nation in the platform. Step up and speak up.
So tune in to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Lada Kwirirai, and this is The Platform. And that was the voice of the commander of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, General Philip Valerio Spanda, speaking before a commission that is being headed by former South African President Hailema Mohlante, looking into the August 1st shootings, which left seven people dead. Also speaking at this very same hearing was the Police Commissioner General, Godwin Matanga, saying he sought the assistance of the defense forces as there were manpower shortages in the police forces. He gives the commission his evidence as follows.
Thank you very much, Commissioner General. I will now hand you over to the commissions. Do they have any questions for clarification? Honorable Chair and members of the commission, your witness.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Questions?
Yes, Chief. Thank you very much, Commissioner General. Just a few questions. First, is there any law that empowers the police to do something about inciting public violence?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The law is there. Fortunately, we had a seminar a week before the election day, which was conducted by the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, Justice Chigumba, at one of our conference rooms, and it was very clear. And it is still very clear in my mind that the Electoral Act did not allow people to incite violence. Thank you.
So it's a law on which the police have never acted. Would I be right to say that?
Can you come again, sir?
Would it be correct to say that the police have never really acted on this law?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to history, I borrowed some facts from within the continent where by arresting a leader of the Bay Opposition Party could have worsened the situation. And I'm taking a cue from the Kenyan situation where more than 1,000 people died during their election period. And to go further, it is on record that the lawyer of the main opposition leader in Kenya, Raila Odinga, by the name Silas Jagatkimba, if I'm not mistaken, was in the country to advise our main opposition leader on how to proceed with actions which took place on the 1st of August. When I got that information, unfortunately, he had left the country on the 31st of July, going back to Kenya. So really, up to this hour, I still feel that it would be very improper for me to arrest the leader of the opposition party in the name of Nelson Chamisa, because not too long ago, when our state president was in New York attending some conference there, he also extended some olive leaf where he was going to propose to his parliament to open a special office to accommodate the opposition leader. And I still feel today that the doors are still open and it will be very improper for me to arrest him. But at the same time, I would want to say crime does not rot like meat. The records are there to tell, and any time he can be arrested, if the time permits. I thank you.
My other question is, the people killed, the people who died as a result of the 1st of August violence, have you been able to establish whether they all died from gunshots from the army alone, or was there any fatality through police gunshot?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our investigations have not come up with the culprits involved. And for me to say these people were shot by the army, it would be very unfair, because I was expecting to get evidence in the form of spent cartridges or bullet heads. Only to read through the papers that there are Zimbabwean citizens who do have these cartridges. And through the commission, I'm appealing to them to come forward so that investigations can be carried out. I thank you.
So far.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, General.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Commissioner General. Based on the intelligence that you might have collected before 1st of August, did you foresee the occurrence and extent of the violence that took place on the 1st of August?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, from the time the election date and even before was announced by the state president, people, political leaders, were campaigning peacefully, to include also Mr. Chamisa in his party. And if I still recall and on record, it is the first time when the opposition party was allowed to have their main rally in the Africa Unity Square. And according to our plans, which we discussed together with the opposition conveners, and I want to say and to remain on record that at the end of their rally, we did not record the enemy's heart. So, with that in mind, but of course, I was not sitting on my laurels to say it was peaceful up to, but I can assure you, the situation was reasonable, comfortable, you know, peaceful, up to the day, would I say up to the end of the ballot day itself. So, we were then expecting results from ZEC, and of course the officials that certain individuals wanted to announce the results before the official board ZEC could do it, which again is a serious offense. So, I want to say before the commission, the situation was very comfortable, and considering that people had voted up to the end peacefully, at some point I did not expect the violence which took place on the 1st of August to take place. Thank you.
Yeah. And when violence erupted on the 1st of August, did you make an attempt to contact the leader of the opposition party and other entities?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I made a lot of attempts to discuss these issues with the opposition leaders. I am on record, and the other officers in the organization, for giving out statements encouraging peace. I went as far as appealing to leaders of the observer teams to help us in trying to reason with the opposition leaders. Of course, they had assured me. Unfortunately, I did not manage to get a feedback from them up to this hour. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. No further questions.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Commissioner General, I want to take you to the little. I saw that you read the Constitution and the Public Order and Security Act. In terms of that constitutional provision you read, it says that only the President may deploy members of the Defense Forces. Is that correct?
My understanding of the Constitution is it is only the President, according to the Constitution of 2013, Amendment number 20 of 2013. It is only the State President who can deploy members of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces within and outside Zimbabwe.
Okay. And so is it your evidence then, you read it alongside the Public Order and Security Act, that your understanding after your request to get the army was that the President authorized the deployment?
My understanding, of course, is that the President did actually approve the deployment of the members of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces to come in support of the Zimbabwe Republic Police.
You have that in writing from the President?
Of course I do.
Now, turning to the Public Order and Security Act, after the approval by the President, was there any need for the Defense Forces to operate under the regulating authority for Iran?
Definitely, yes. If it was only a normal operation, the Defense Forces, members of the Defense Forces, were supposed to come down to the regulating authority, who was then Chief Superintendent Munuwe, to be given instructions, of course, which a situation which did not take place.
Then that means there you agree with the witness who came earlier on the regulating authority for Harare that that section of the law was not complied with.
Mr. Chairman, this question is coming from a specialist in the Constitution, and
you are protected.
He's asking me to split hair here.
Well,
I wouldn't say, you know, it's now in here nor there when it comes to law. But of course it was not done, but it was not done deliberately. That one I must accept.
Yes, I accept that. I think I took your wording, which you correct me if it is not correct. Your language says that the normal process could not be followed because there was no time for that process. You are saying in that regard that you couldn't then follow those provisions because there was no time for it?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. If the time was there, this channel was going to be followed, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, goodbye.
Commissioner, you have told this commission that when your request to get the army to assist was granted, there was no time to go back to the regulatory authority. So are you telling this gathering that it is you who said the army could go? You gave the last word.
Can you come a bit more on so that I can under-correct
I'm it? Saying according to procedure, it was supposed to be the regulatory authority, as stated by Assistant Inspector Nguwe, that he was then supposed to command the army to go. I'm saying since there was no time to go to the authority, was it then you who sent the army out? Who commanded, rather?
Mr. Chairman, I can't run away from the fact, it's me.
And what was your instruction to the forces? What did you instruct them to go and do?
Right, the deployment of the army, like I've already indicated, was to make sure that these demonstrators were not going to run over the Rainbow Towers, which was accommodating the command center. Secondly, the ZANU-PF national headquarters, where in normal circumstances our ministers are housed, the ZEG officers, the ZEG offices themselves, where Justice Chigumba and the rest were accommodated, and lastly, the ZANU-PF provincial headquarters along Simon Zinda Street. Along the way, and it was very clear for me that I would not know what will happen in between because the town was already on fire.
When the town is on fire, what would you specifically state to the army that goes? You just tell them go and do what you can do, or there was an instruction?
Unfortunately, through the chair, it's like someone going through a jungle. I will not be too sure whether one would encounter an elephant, a lion, or whatever, but only to say, please, tread with the care. The situation is not favorable. That's what I said to the commander of the army.
Okay, so in other words, there was an open instruction for them to use their discretion within their training abilities.
I wouldn't say an open instruction because in their today training programs, there is what they call military aid to civil power, and they are trained to quell out disturbances of that nature which took place on the 1st of August. And to say it was an open instruction, I would not take that. No.
No, the reason why I am asking is because we had all the witnesses coming, but it looks like the public want to know who gave instruction, who said what. When the shootings happened, who had said, go and shoot? That's why I'm trying to ask.
Thank you, Chair. Right now, I cannot even tell you who were part of the 5,000, 4,000 demonstrators who were in town. So really to say they were going to do this at Corner Chitepo and Simon Vinda Street, it was going to be very difficult for me. But as a trained officer, I would still feel that that was not a situation which they would not be able to quell.
But in your own assessment, was the power or the force used commensurate to the events that were happening?
Depending on what corner you are looking at this situation from, from a civilian point of view, for those who have witnessed wars on television and for those who have gone into the actual ground, I mean, the assessment would be different. But without maybe provoking the bereaved families, I still believe that minimum force was used, because I know that our Zimbabwe Defense Forces are armed with AKs. If those arms were carelessly used, I can assure you we could have counted 1,000 bodies in Harare Central. I thank you.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
You're still tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. That's there is the voice of Police Commissioner General Godwin Matanga, who was speaking before the commission looking into the August 1st shootings, which left 7 people dead, before a commission led by former South African President Kgalema Motlanthe. Finally, I'm going to play a section of this from the presentation by the Commander Presidential Guard, Brigadier General Anselm Sanyatwe, who also gave his representation.
The National Reaction Force participants had very clear rules of engagement instructions. They can only use a firearm when it is extremely necessary. And if a firearm was to be used, there are standard procedures that we do practice during our training on crowd dispersal, that you fire warning shots 3 times. If the situation continues, then you fire well-calculated rapid warning shots. And these are exactly the drills that were employed by the troops at Net One building.
Where are these shots fired at?
You fire them. Warning shots are, in fact, by definition, fired in the air.
Now, Brigadier General, on the very day in question, social media was awash with pictures of military personnel in town. And there was one video that captured the attention of many, where a member in military fatigues kneels on the ground, appears to be firing, and then there's another member, again in military fatigues, who comes behind him and hits him with a cap as if to dissuade him from further action. Have you seen that video?
Yes, I did so.
What would be your comment to that? What can you tell the commissioners about that?
Apart from the video itself, when the troops got to the intersection of Kagui and Jason Moyo, where they met stiff resistance, missiles being thrown to them, rioters advancing towards the section. The particular soldier that the video you are referring to was taken whilst on kneeling position. Yes, indeed, he took that position because he was avoiding missiles that were being thrown to him. But because of the instructions that warning shots are only to be fired on a standing position, this is where the second in command of that particular platoon observed this particular trooper, not necessarily a trooper, was in fact a sergeant, to say, stand up, don't worry about those stones, they don't kill you, stand up. So in fact, he took remedial actions.
Are you certain, or are you aware of exactly where that incident occurred?
Yes, sir.
Where did the incident occur?
Just some few meters from the intersection of Jason Moyo and Kagui, close to Net One buildings.
Okay. Now, are you aware, or have you since received information as to exactly where the bodies who were shot were retrieved in Harare?
No. Apart from the three that I've mentioned earlier on, that the proper himself confirmed to me that a body was picked at Christmas Clinic near 4th Street, and another body was dumped at Parerinatwa reception, and the third one was also reported and confirmed by the proper that the body or that particular individual passed on at Parerinatwa hospital. The exact location where the other three bodies were picked, not to my knowledge, because my troops never came across any dead body, neither no casualties.
To your knowledge, were any dead bodies recovered?
The platform. Step up and speak up.
Unfortunately, the time allocated for the platform has run out, but that is the voice of Commander Presidential Guard Brigadier General Anselem Sanyatwe speaking before a commission that is headed by former South African President Khalema Motlanthe. And also security chiefs that also spoke, that we played in the last hour, as ATF Commander General Philip Valerius Banda, as well as ZRP Commissioner General Godwin Matanga. And the commission has been given 3 months to investigate the violence and deliver its written report and recommendations to President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The deadline for the commission to complete its work is therefore the 19th of December. So that's it from the platform tonight. Tomorrow I will have the Deputy Minister of Transport, as well as this Traffic Safety Council of Zimbabwe and the Passengers Association of Zimbabwe, to discuss road safety in the work of the Rusape bus disaster that claimed the lives of more than 47 people. May their souls rest in peace. We're going to take a quick break, about a 2 minutes break, while we set up for the next show. We're having the platform, and we're going to be talking about the effects that gender-based violence has on children, especially children witnessing gender-based violence that is happening in the home. It might not be something that's happening to them, and I've got a psychologist to talk about this in the studio. It's ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.